Well, it would have to wait until the morning, when no doubt the pillow would be wet, too. He always did that, reversed himself, and then wet once more. Well, one bedwetter among five boys wasn't bad. Meggie was curled into a little heap, with her thumb in her mouth and her rag-decorated hair all around her. The only girl. Fee cast her no more than a passing glance before leaving. There was no mystery to Meggie. She was female. Fee knew what her lot would be, and did not envy her or pity her. The boys were different. They were miracles, males alchemized out of her female body. It was hard not having help around the house, but it was worth it. Among his peers, Patty's sons were the greatest character reference he possessed. Let a man breed sons, and he was a real man. She closed the door to her own bedroom softly and put the lamp down on a bureau. Her nimble fingers flew down the dozens of tiny buttons between the high collar and the hips of her dress, then peeled it away from her arms. She slipped the camisole off her arms also, and holding it very carefully against her chest, she wriggled into a long flannel nightgown. Only then, decently covered, did she divest herself of camisole, drawers, and loosely laced stays. Down came the tightly knotted golden hair, all its pins put into a power shell on the bureau. But even this, beautiful as it was, thick and shining and very straight, was not permitted freedom. Fee got her elbows up over her head and her hands behind her neck, and began to braid it swiftly. She turned then toward the bed, her breathing unconsciously suspended. But Patty was asleep, so she heaved a gusty sigh of relief. Not that it wasn't nice when Patty was in the mood, for he was a shy, tender, considerate lover. But until Meggie was 2 or 3 years older, it would be very hard to have more babies.